Hey everyone, and welcome to Hero's Journey Physio Fitness. Our mission is guiding people to reclaim their health and become self-reliant. I'm your host, Dr. Cameron Hogue, and joining me is my co-host, Anibal Rios.
All right, guys, we are going live in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another banger episode of Hero's Journey Physio Fitness. All right, Cam, we got to talk about a topic that's interesting. I think it's interesting and important, especially for beginners. I think a lot of times you see so many fitness trends, you see, well, this program worked for this guy and this other program worked for this guy, and they're very different. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. And the thing is, that program may not be right for you. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to show you how to create your own training plan, because the thing is, the best plan is the one for you that's going to be tailored to your own goals, to your own need, to really meet you where you're currently at.
You know, you said beginners, and it's 100% for beginners as well. But I would venture to say that there is probably a lot of people that have been working out who don't know how to actually create a training routine that is, you know, good. You know, they might think that it's a good routine that they've come up with or whatever, but is it like covering their bases? Are they following an appropriate split? Are they applying progressive overload? Things that we're going to get into. And I would venture to say not a lot of people know exactly how to do that.
Oh, well, so that's a good point. Maybe they don't even know why it works. They just know that it works.
Or yeah. So maybe they know how, but they don't know why. So while we are teaching you how to create your own workout routine, we're hopefully giving you the why behind the how. Mm-hmm. So that way you get the full picture here. With the training, we want to kind of go over, kind of recap some things that we've talked about in the past that we think is important related to this topic. And the first one being exercise versus training. We did an entire episode on this. What episode was that?
41.
Okay, so episode 41 for exercise versus training. But here's essentially the big picture, what we talked about on why we think you should train.
Isn't it the same talk? Isn't that the same thing, exercise and training?
No, Anibal. Don't spread that. Don't spread that myth. Don't you do that. So exercise, you think about it, you're just getting hot and sweaty. There's...
Let me start with, whoa. We're not talking about cardio here, Cam.
You're right. Okay, so maybe we can do this. Training is you have a routine. You have a plan. A lot of time exercise, you're just throwing crap together. You know, I'm going to do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. There's no real plan or routine in place. Training, you need to track. You have to either have some way of tracking, journal, phone, app. I don't know. Some people, I mean, if you're smart enough, you can just remember all the sets and reps and numbers for every exercise in your head. Great. Listen, do it.
You probably can't remember what you ate yesterday or the week before. So I would recommend tracking it.
Yeah, so track. Training, you have goals. You are trying to get to something. Whether that's a number on the bar, whether that's a number on the scale.
Good or bad.
High or low. You're having some sort of goal you're striving for.
You have a direction of where you're going. It's really what we're
exactly.
And then training,
you actually understand a lot of the why. Like, why am I trying to progress
and wait
from Monday to Wednesday? Why am I doing squats instead of hack squats? You have an understanding of why you're doing something. While exercise is like, well, isn't the leg press the same as this? And
you don't really know why.
You don't really know why.
We don't want
you to exercerse. We want you to train.
And so that's
something that we wanted to bring up.
That's a good point. And a lot of people, we're not saying you have to be an expert. Not saying you have to be like a physical therapist. You just have to have a basic understanding of what you're doing to know how to progress overall. And I guess before we even get into that, we need to first have a reality check with ourselves and say, okay, how many days can I realistically go to the gym? I don't know what that is for you. Only you can decide. Is that 3 days or is that upwards of 6 days? I don't know. Ideally, 3 days is that sweet spot for beginners. You can make a lot of progress with 3 days. You don't have to do 6 days. You can. You might need to.
A lot of progress.
Yeah, a lot of progress if you know how to program it right. You don't need 6 days. 6 days is fine, depending on what split you are and if you're more advanced. I will say this. If you're a true beginner, meaning you have not touched a bar or weight in maybe ever, or it's been a very, very long time, you could probably get away with 2 days per week for a little bit just to get started.
Yeah, that would be enough of a stimulus, at least at the beginning, to drive some progress for sure.
A lot of people think, oh, why don't I can't do 3 days. Can you do two? Get that ball rolling, and then you find the third day.
Yeah. So be completely honest with yourself on this one, because you might see, again, you might see something on Instagram. You might see something on YouTube. Your favorite YouTuber, he's doing a 6-day split.
It's the only split. It's the best split.
It's the best. And maybe on paper and for that individual, it is 100% the best. But guess what? If you cannot make it to the gym 6 days a week and you're on a 6-day split, you're going to crash and burn, baby. We don't want that. So you have to, up front, you have to know I'm good for 3 days. I can make time in my week for 3 days. You can always add to that. To, let's say a week you have a little extra time and you're like, what can I do? It's like, well, Animal and I personally recommend adding in a cardio day, one of those HIIT sessions, potentially even one of those LISS sections, low intensity, steady state. But you always want to, you want to be able to add to and not be like, oh my gosh, I didn't have enough time this week to do any of my exercises.
That is a good point. And I think we've said this and we'll say it again. You're going to stack over time your habits and what you're doing to your routine. And you know, who you are today is not going to be the same person in 3 years who has this exhausted routine. So you just build it over time.
Oh yeah. And I was just thinking about that as soon as you said that. Your routine is not going to be the same you started to. It's going to constantly change. I'm not saying change every week, but, and it should, you should have an understanding, and we're about to get into picking a split, and this should change. I mean, unless you just are set on one, it should change over time, and you should experiment, and you might realize, oh my gosh, my body for this season really adapted well to the bro split or whatever versus like a full body split. And, you know, we're going to tell you and kind of give you information on each split and which one you should consider and all that stuff, but it won't be the same. The days per week won't be the same. The sets won't be the same. Your busy schedule won't be the same. So don't think that you're picking one and just marrying it.
Yeah. You don't have to get stuck on it. I think a lot of people do get stuck. And same thing with when it comes to the types of training, meaning calisthenics only, barbell only, bodybuilding only, or insert whatever. It's like, why not just do a little bit of everything or move or switch depending on whatever phase or whatever your goal might be?
I mean, some people feel like before they pick something, it's like they're about to propose and get married to this thing. And it's like, I got to see 5 years from now, am I still going to be doing a full? We want you just to exercise.
Just start.
No, train. We want you to train. I just went back and what I just said, animal.
Exercise?
We want you to train. And whatever that's going to look like, we just want you to do that. Don't get married to the specific split. And the days per week will change.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different splits. And there, like Cam has already said, depending on what your goal is, whatever you can actually do at this very moment, if you can't do a 5-6-day split, don't do a 5-6-day split. Go for 3, 4, 2 if that's all you have. It's better just to start than to keep postponing it for the perfect time that's never going to come. The first one, I think the bro split. I think every newbie at the gym starts with a bro split. I don't know. I went through that phase in high school and even early college. I was like, it's just a bro split, you know? You start with chest. Oh. Of course, you start with chest.
One of the first routines that this was before physical therapy school, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. So my mind has changed a lot since then. But the first time I tried to program for myself, and outside of baseball, because baseball.
Oh, I agree. Outside of sports related.
Outside of sports, because they had the set workouts, and I just followed what they said. So outside, when I was ending college, I was like, you know what I'm going to do?
Dwayne Johnson
and a big. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Hugh
Wolverine.
Jackman. Wolverine. Just steroid out of his mind, just ripped, veins popping at 40 years old. I'm sitting there going, I want to look like him. So the first one I followed was like a 6-week, you know, men's health Wolverine routine. So I followed that. And then the next one I looked up, Dwayne Johnson's, and it was a 5-day bro split routine. And it was brutal. It was, I would consider myself, you know, label myself as a beginner at that point. And it was brutal. But yeah, I went through that phase. I don't know how long I followed it for, at least 1 to 2 months, which is not that long. But I followed
it's
it for
funny you
at
said
least.
That. I did the same thing. Outside of baseball or any other sport, I created my own bro split. And let me back up. We didn't even explain what a bro split is. We just assumed that you knew. I just realized that. Sorry. Yeah. Bro split means that you are dividing your workouts by body parts, meaning chest, back, legs, biceps. What else? Shoulders, traps.
Shoulders.
So you're splitting it up. There's a lot of ways to split it up based on body parts. But I was like you. I just would make my own random ones. Was like, all right, we're doing arms today. We're going to hit arms by using every machine in the gym. We're just going to do 3x10 for everything.
Yeah. I can't remember. I mean, I think the Dwayne one was like a 5-day one. I think it didn't divide biceps into triceps. I think it just said arms for that day.
Yeah.
So it was biceps and triceps, and I guess forearms too. So let's talk about maybe some of the pros of the bro split, and then we'll talk about maybe some of the cons, because it seems like we're talking about it in a negative way.
They could all work for you, depending on your goal and how you program it. That's it. We're just talking about the past before we learn a little bit more.
Yeah, so as Anna was saying, the bro split is utilized by a lot of bodybuilders, not all of them, but it kind of got popularized because of people like Dwayne Johnson and others who isolate a specific region of the body for one workout. And
I'll give you a
typical day for, like, let's say chest day.
International.
So you might go international chest day because it's Monday. Is that what you're saying?
Every Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Of course. I know we have that.
You know what? Monday's International Legs Day for women. I think that's a thing, isn't it?
I think all 7 days of the week are like International Leg Day for women.
Good point. Continue.
And chest day for men. Okay.
Yeah, you just get back and you like, just double down on chest. It makes sense.
Yeah. You just want to be able to hug a barrel. You're just so rounded and forward. Okay. So like chest day, you get in there, you do bench press. Okay. And then after that, you might do incline bench press. And then after that, you might do a machine press. And then you might do some chest flies on the cable machine. Then you might do some dumbbell chest flies. You might even throw some dips in there if you have some stamina for it. So we're looking at like 5 exercises, 6 exercises. You're probably doing minimum 3 sets, potentially up to 4. So you're blasting your chest, like absolutely 100% blasting. And who this works well for is honestly for people who can handle that type of volume. So more experienced lifters, but also if you're on that sauce, baby, you're on that juice.
Tropicana juice.
Tropicana, that's right. We ain't talking about Sunny D over here, man. We're talking about that. We're talking about the steroids. And it gives you the unnatural ability to recover. And why people like that is because you can handle that kind of volume from the session and you can recover from it. You can like blast it all in one session and feel the pump, you know, feel that mind muscle connection. So people really like that. In my experience, especially for beginners, especially if you're a beginner, there is no way on God's green earth you can handle that type of volume or even make the necessary progress that you would need to see, which we're going to talk about later with progressive overload. By the time you get to dips, which might be the last exercise in that workout, or the chest flies, you're going to be doing like 5-pound chest flies after you've already done like 12 sets of pressing movements with your chest. Like your intensity is going to decline over the session because of how much volume you're doing. You can have intensity or you can have volume, but you can't really have both unless you're on steroids.
And I guess that could be the argument because I will make the kind of argument. They have somebody to say, well, you could, you know, maybe reduce some of the exercises to make it more scalable to see where you're at. So that's also an option.
That is also an option. But then the other side of the equation, again, I feel like I'm doing the cons over here. You'd be the devil's advocate, Annabelle, and you fight me back. But again, if you're natural, you want to continue to expose your body to more stimuluses through the week, and especially for the muscle group. So if you're only giving your chest one muscle group and then 7 days later, then you re-stimulate it, again, it takes a lot of volume for you to be able to give it enough stimulation to grow. If not, you need to either indirectly hit it another time that week or directly hit it another time that week to kind of re-spark that anabolic signal for your body to want to build the muscle there. So again, if you like to train like that, that's totally fine. That's not
animal's
preferred
way. Yeah, you could make it work as a beginner. You just have, we'll talk about it a little bit further down to say if you do pick this one, what's called hard sets and how many sets you need per muscle group. A little bit further down, that way you can kind of know what we're talking about. But we first wanted to go over the different training options you have. Again,
okay, sorry.
No, you're good. I'm jumping ahead. No, you're doing good.
Okay.
And with the bro split and with a lot of these, there's a lot of different ways you can mix and match. You know, for instance, you can do chest and biceps or chest and triceps, or there's also where they do, was it bicep? There's so many different ways to program it. Would you say that with a bro split, ideally you want to do more on the 5 to 6 days, where it's probably a lot harder for 3 and 4?
Yeah, I don't
like
think
generally you, I mean, speaking. Then,
yeah, you really couldn't. You couldn't do a bro split that's less than 5 days, because then you're just transitioning into potentially like a push pull legs routine where you're just incorporating not just your chest on chest day, you're also getting shoulders and triceps. So it's no longer a individual body part split. Then you're trying to group. You're grouping it more into, like a push pull legs routine,
or maybe even upper lower, which we'll touch.
Or an upper lower, not so much a full, not so much a full body, but yeah, or an upper lower.
So that's a good point to keep in mind. And like I said, you know what you need and where you're at. But we just want to give you all the different options. So if you have a little more days in your schedule and you want a little bit more volume, definitely consider a bro split. Ideally, 5 to 6 days is where that sweet spot is to be able to target individual body parts.
We do.
We'll put Annabelle. We'll put. The next one of Annabelle and I's favorites, is the push-pull legs. So I'm running a very similar push-pull legs routine. Hey, if you follow us on Instagram, which if you have not, you need to. If you're listening, you don't follow us, go on there. We have
listening.
A free training plan.
And we know they're listening.
And we know you're listening. If you're not following us, give us a follow. There's a free training plan on our page. You just need to screenshot it. It's on the story highlights. It's a push-pull legs routine. It's baller. It's really good. It's got a bunch of good stuff in there. But what this routine does is it focuses the body on specific movement patterns. Push, obviously you're using your pushing muscles. Pull, move, you know, using your pulling muscles. And then legs, using your legs. You can use this as, is either can be a 3 day week split, again, push, pull, legs, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or it could be a 6 day routine in which you do push twice a week, pull twice a week, and legs twice a week, if that makes any sense.
So for instance, Monday, Wednesday, push, pull, legs, rest, Thursday, and then repeat.
Yep. So there's going to be some rest day, whether it's you do your push, pull, legs, rest, push, pull, legs, or you do push, pull, legs, rest. Doesn't really matter. There's going to be a rest day somewhere that's going to break the cycle at some point. Uh-huh. And with the pushing muscles, you're utilizing your chest, your shoulder, your triceps, because you're doing things that are going away from your body. Pulling, you're usually utilizing your back, your biceps, posterior shoulders, so a lot of pulling. And then legs, you can have some overlap, especially if you do deadlifts on your legs day, leg day, not a pull day, which technically doesn't really matter. A lot of people program it, gasp, a lot of people do put it on pull day, but legs, work your back and your legs, so it doesn't matter. And that will hit back and legs, like we're saying. So you could put it on either. And with, am I missing? So I said push, I said pull, legs, any leg exercise. Core, you can, and you repeat, you can throw in core on those days too. It can, every session, every other session, doesn't really matter. Especially if you're training functionally. You're hitting your core if you're training functional movements. Damn.
I like this one. Yeah. I am biased. Yeah. I have my favorite ones, but I can't tell you.
Yeah. Are we going to tell everyone our favorite ones? Or we wait till the end?
We can tell them now. We'll cover it. I think my two favorite ones are push-pull legs and then full body.
Yeah.
I've done bro split.
Okay. So
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we've all done it.
Okay,
so another type of routine is what's called an upper lower. And this is how it sounds. You have an upper body day and you have a lower body day. And with this one, the classic upper lower split is a 4-day split. You're doing upper twice a week, lower twice a week. So it'd be upper lower, upper lower. You don't want to do upper, upper, lower, lower, because you want to be able to give your body enough time to, and you definitely want to do upper, 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 and do no leg days or lower days. The good thing about this, the difference between this one and push pull.
Oh, yes. Do clarify that.
The difference between this two is with the upper days, you can use agonist and antagonist muscles. So like on push day, on the former split, you're just using all chest, shoulders, and triceps. You're not using your back muscles or your pulling muscles on that day. With this, you can. So you could do a bench press into cable rows and you can like superset. And this one does allow for like really good pumps. Really good pumps, because you can get biceps and then triceps, you know, you can get chest and then back. And it just sometimes it makes people feel really full, where, you know, like when your biceps are pumped and your triceps are pumped and you're like, I'm a monster.
Dude, I freaking
right
love
now,
doing
though.
Dips and superseting with barbell rows. You feel like you're walking around like a gorilla.
Just let me beat my chest. But yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. If you've done that before, then you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you're supersetting, or even just during the workout, you're hitting both sides of your upper body and it feels really good. So that's kind of the difference. Legs, you can do the similar, you know, if you're working quads and hammies, glutes, all that kind of stuff, you can superset or all that stuff. But the leg day, the lower days are pretty similar to the lower day on the push-pull legs. But the upper days are really good for feeling that fullness and supersets, because you can let one muscle rest while you work the other, and then versus doing like bench press into push-ups, like a superset where you're hitting synergistic or agonist muscles, which can be good depending on what your goal is, but it's very fatiguing if you finish heavy bench and then jump down to push-ups. Like it's a good workout, but it depends on what your goal is.
Yeah, who would you say this is for, Ken?
This could be for anybody. I would say this one is a good routine if you are potentially short on time and you want to incorporate superset. Because you can do, if your gym isn't super crowded, you can set up bench press and then some pulling motion. You can do biceps and then go right into triceps. You can do shoulders and then you can do back. However you want to pair them, you can really get some of these done quick, because your rest time is while you're doing the other exercise, because you're letting your muscles you just worked rest while you use the opposite muscles. So if you're short on time, this is great. But again, you need to have a minimum of 4 days. So again, if you can only commit to 3 days, this routine is not for you, because you need to have that extra day of stimulus to make sure all your muscles are getting hit.
What about like a 2-day routine for like a true beginner? Probably like for a bit, if you're hitting those sets.
Oh, are you saying if someone's wanting to do 2 days?
Yeah,
a week,
like for that person, a true beginner.
Then they need to do full body. If they're going to only work out 2 days a week, it needs to be full body.
But if they can, but I can only do Saturday or Sunday.
I can only
work out Saturday and Sunday. Only got the weekends, you know, during the week, I'm super busy.
Then I would recommend doing one full body day and then a cardio day.
Interesting.
Yeah. Are you trying to say do an upper day and a lower
day? I was thinking about it. You know, as we were seeing,
you could do that.
And I was thinking about it.
If 2 days is all that you had and it's a Saturday and a Sunday, yeah, that's...
it'll be a long workout, guys, because you still need to hit it hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. You could do that for sure. Yeah. But the upper body, the upper lower split is one that... it's like a sleeper, I feel like.
Nobody talks about it, right?
No one talks about this one. I personally have never done it, but I've always eyeballed it. It's like you're young, you're single, you're eyeing somebody across the room, and you're like, I'm going to go talk to them, and then you never do. This is that routine.
Yeah.
Definitely going to go do that routine. And then.
Yeah, I honestly haven't really done it. But the more that we're talking about it, it's like, you know, it could work out for an individual who we want to make sure they're still getting that stimulus, and who say, guys, I can only work out 2 days back to back, whatever those 2 days may be. I'm just thinking about those people who are working professionals, even though they can find the time, okay, we know that, but who really are fixated on the fact that I only have these 2 days. They could make it work at the beginning, as a true beginner, maybe Saturday upper, Sunday lower, and then eventually they are going to have to do more because that's not going to be enough stimulants, but that's for another day.
I like that a lot. That is a good suggestion for those who can only do back-to-back days. If you were to add a third day and you really like upper lower and you can't get that fourth, make that third day a full body day. So you have upper. Are we finishing each other's sandwiches?
Oh, my sandwiches?
Did you say sentences?
I say sandwiches.
Okay, good. That's what I said.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Let the record show.
But here's the thing, guys. There is no perfect split. You can mix and match, and we're going to talk. We'll throw it in. There's also called an accessory day. What's that?
That's the bonus tip, Hannibal.
That's the bonus tip. You can't talk about accessory
day. You got to join our program to get the accessory day. You can't just, that's not free information.
No, it's not. But we'll tell you. It's essentially where, let's say you do an upper lower and that's a third day, or you could do a full body. It's just another day where you just do accessory lifts, whatever your goal might be. For instance, let's say it's a push pull leg split and you want to do a fourth day and you just do, I don't know, overhead press. You really want to get stronger on your overhead press. So that accessory day is another pushing day, whatever that your goal might be.
Yeah. Good point, man. Really good point. All right. Let's talk about your favorite routine.
Oh, this one, that's the one that started our full body split.
What is a full body split, Hannibal?
I really started doing this more so because of powerlifting. I think I went through a little powerlifting phase, and essentially it's what it sounds like. You're doing squat, bench, deadlift, or some sort of variation of that, of compound lifts. It's what you're focusing on. We'll cover on what those are. You're just focusing on compound lifts. You're hitting the full body and either some sort of pushing, some sort of pulling, and some sort of legs. It's what you're doing every single workout.
It's push-pull legs into one.
That is that's the easiest way to put it. Whether that is a vertical pushing, horizontal pushing, vertical pulling, horizontal pulling. Legs is, I mean, there's legs. There's, I guess there's push and pull in legs, right, Doc? There's the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
Squats a push, deadlifts a pull with the legs.
That's why I keep them around.
You don't pay me enough.
I'll pay you one day.
All right, good.
This is one of my favorite ones, and here's why. I am very biased. Cam, try to, play the devil's advocate just so.
I'll try.
I like this because when you're busy, and I mean super busy, you may not have enough time, and you may have to cut a day. And with a full body, if you miss a day, let's say you're doing 3 days full body or 4 days full body, whatever you might be doing, guess what? You still hit that body part. Yes, maybe you did vertical pushing instead of horizontal pushing or vice versa, but you still are hitting that pushing movement. Whereas if you're doing pushable legs or if you're doing bro split or you're doing, I guess upper lowers might be fine. Yeah, that could be fine. You're missing a complete body part or a complete movement as a whole. And with this, you're not.
Yeah, you're at least hitting your muscle. If you do this 3 days a week and you miss one, you still hit those muscles at least twice that week. Upper lower, if you miss one day, let's say you miss legs day, the lower day, you only hit lower once that week, which again is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go back up to the bro split, if you miss chest day, you don't make it up that week, then you didn't hit chest for almost 2 weeks. So that is one of the big things, is we want consistency. And that's why we started off with saying, pick which days of the week you can consistently commit to, and then you look at the splits. Because it doesn't matter if you, oh my gosh, I really like that upper lower. I really like that upper lower split, but I can only do, like Hannibal said, consistently 3 days. You can't do that routine. Don't do that routine.
Well, speaking of that, I just realized we haven't said this. For the full body, one of the caveats is you need at least one day of rest in between, because you're not going to be as fresh. You won't be able to push as hard. So, for instance, Monday, full body, Tuesday, rest. Wednesday, full body, Thursday, rest. Friday, full body again.
Yeah. And if you want to add another day into your full body, they can be some of those cardio days, some of those HIIT training days. And those are okay to do, especially if you do HIIT training, like kettlebell swings and burpees and stuff like that. So like, yeah, you're hitting legs and pushing motions, but how it's set up is it's more intense and it's not heavy weights, and your body will still recover. It's not zapping your system as much as lifting or squatting heavy and stuff like that. So again, if you're going to add an extra day in, I would add in a cardio day on that. I am biased. I'm with Anibal. I love the full body. I think it can work for beginners. It can work for advanced. And I guess the caveat with advanced is if you're lifting heavier and heavier weight, there's a lot of warm up. I guess that's the con of this. The con of full body.
It takes a little bit longer.
Especially if you're advanced. If you're advanced and you're, you know, benching 315 or whatever, you don't just slap 315 on the bar and start benching. You've got to build up to get to your working sets. Versus if you're benching 100 pounds, you have like one warm-up set before you get to that weight. You know what I mean? So like
sometimes you need to just throw it on, like, all right, we're good.
Yeah. So like there's less warm-up, so you're cutting down significantly.
You're right. That is a con. And maybe once it gets too heavy, you may do more of a push pull,
Or an upper lower.
Man, that upper lower something about fake. I need to try that out.
I need to go talk to her. You know,
talk to her. Hey, what's up? All right,
push pull legs. I barely know her.
All right, guys. I'm sorry. I was gonna say something, but I'll save that for the after hours.
You got to pay for that. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So with all of these routines, whichever split you take, what you need to do is prioritize compound lifts. We feel like we say that over and over and over again. Compound lifts allow you to lift.
What are they, Doc?
Okay. So plug for one of our episodes. We have an episode where we cover our top compound lifts. Episode number 36. Is that right? 36, Anibal?
Yeah, that's right, Doc.
Okay. 36, we go over our favorites. Go check it out. Start incorporating some of those. But compound lifts allow you to do the most weight over the greatest range of motion with the most muscle mass. And it can allow you to progress the weight and the reps for a long period of time. I'm going to just run through some of our favorite compound lifts. If they're not your favorite, that's fine, but they're our favorites.
And there's different variations for a lot of these.
So we got deadlift. What are some of the variations of deadlift?
Traditional, which is the holy way, the only way to go. But there's also trap bar, Zumo. We'll accept them too.
Then there's back squat. There's bench press. There's overhead press. There's pull-ups. There's dips. There's muscle-ups. There's some sort of rowing, maybe barbell row, but a dumbbell row. Bulgarian split squats and farmer's carry. Those are some of the main functional ones that are going to give you the best gains, especially if you're a beginner. We love them. Those are, let me see. In my current routine right now, I've got deadlift in it. I've got squat in it. I'm doing incline bench press. I've got overhead press. I do weighted pull-ups. I do weighted dips. No muscle-ups. I can only do like one or two when I've practiced. Rowing motion, I got that. Let's see, Bulgarians, got those. And farmer's carry is the only ones that I don't have in there.
But you have some sort of carry, right? Or some currently in your program. I don't know what program. He made a program he's running. But the thing is, guys, you can pick different variations. A lot of people say no, calisthenics only, no, this way only. If you look at this, some of these are calisthenic movements. Some of them are barbell. Some of them can be done with a dumbbell. It's okay. There's different variations. Or kettlebell. The kettlebell. Yeah, that can actually help you. It's just rule of thumb. Try to pick 1 to 3 for each workout, depending on what split you're doing. It all depends on what kind of split you're doing. But just try to pick a few and then program accordingly. I think a good rule of thumb is, you know, muscle size follows strength.
Oh, and I'm not saying just because my routine has 9 out of these 10 does not mean that your routine has to have 10 of 10 or 9 of 10. Like, your routine might have 3 of these 10. It might be bench, squat, and deadlift. Like, it might just be those 3, and that's fine. I was actually just going through it, remembering, hey, what's in my current routine, and what do we say we like? So that's why I said that one.
And it's seasonal, too. That's part of a plan, is you might be in a season of where you are only doing squat bench and deadlift, and then you add something else, and then you switch. And I mean, this is for life, guys.
Yeah. Okay, Annabelle.
Isolation lifts.
What about them isolations?
Isolation lifts. This is kind of isolation lift, accessory lift, assistant lift. There's a lot of different terms, and they all serve different purposes. But they're supposed to help either, somebody say, run on your body, support your big lifts, aka the compound lift that we just talked about. And there's a lot of different ones out there. These are some of the ones that we like and have tried ourselves. We talked about it in, again, another plug, episode 37, isolation lift.
Listen to it.
And with this, we would say about 2 to 4 per session, per your workout session, to include, depending, again, on your goal and what you're trying to do. So here they are, guys. Again, there's different variations that you can do with these. So first one, incline dumbbell curl.
She hits different.
They do.
If you have not done this movement, put this in your routine. Whatever curl you're doing, substitute for this. This is a great one.
Remember the pelican curl? That one, yes. It destroys your biceps. Anyways. All right. Donkey calf raises. Look it up. Lateral raises. Again, there's so many different variations. Start with one. Dumbbells, cables. It doesn't matter. Face pulls. Lying tricep extensions. Cable chest flies. You actually really like this one, don't you? The cable chest flies.
That's my favorite accessory lift. It makes my chest feel so good. I love it. No comment, Nanable. I do want to say something about the LTEs, the lying tricep or skull crushers. The best thing to do with this one, if you're not using a dumbbell, is an easy curl bar. Sometimes some of those the barbell or those flat bar weights you see in the gym can be a little iffy on your wrist. So sometimes just having your wrist into slight, going from slight pronation to neutral can help out with wrist. Like, all right, I've tweaked my wrist really good.
Point.
And I cannot get full pronation with that exercise. It has to be some sort of neutral position. So if you got wrist injuries going on or weak wrist and stuff like that, the easy curl bar is a better way on how to do that exercise. Back to the chest flies. Love them.
Cable
chest flies.
Sissy squats. They're not for sissies.
You know what else I want to add into that? Sissy squats or reverse Nordic curls. I've been doing reverse Nordic curls or reverse Nordic extensions, and those hit your quads really good too. So, I mean, same with sissy squats, but I forgot about the reverse Nordics.
I think there's so many exercises, guys.
Yeah, so many.
So that is a good point. Yeah, I've been doing those, and I've added them as well.
Have you really?
Yeah. Because I was like, you know what? I need to switch it up. Because one that I've been doing for a good bit and I enjoy is the Nordic hamstring curls. And I was like, you know what? Let me do the reverse.
The Nordics are great too. Those two right there will bulletproof your knees. Mm. In all honesty, those will really, if you got bad knees, those will really help. And you got to build into them. They're not easy. I can only do the lowering aspect of the Nordic. I can't do the concentric because it is that hard. And I had to start with a lighter or a less range of motion for the reverse Nordic extensions because you got to build up, but.
You do. They will humble you. All right. Hip thrusters for the ladies out there, but guys, you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
The ab wheel. Oh my gosh. What were you calling it the other day, dog? The hell wheel or hell's wheel?
Yeah, the hell wheel.
Something like that. It was funny. It makes sense for me.
Yeah, it sucks.
And then the old-fashioned barbell curl.
Yeah.
It's not an exhaustive list. This isn't like the best ever. It's just our favorites, just to clarify. Give them a try. All right. So you have your days. You have your split. You've picked a handful of compound lifts. You've picked a handful of isolation lifts. Now we want to briefly, we don't want to dive too deep into this. It's already going to be like a 2-hour podcast. We're going Joe Rogan style now.
Well, we might have him on one day. He's asked a couple
times.
We'll
see. We'll decide. He keeps blowing up our DMs, but.
We've been pretty busy. Pipe down there, Rogan.
We want to apply progressive overload. We have a full episode on it, episode number 6. We'll briefly want to touch on an overview of what it is, and then we're going to dive deep on a few aspects of it that we think apply more to beginners. All right, progressive overload means you're just changing either the sets, the reps, the weights, the training frequency, and the rest, the time under tension, and the range of motion. We're not trying to confuse the muscles, but we are trying to increase the demand of what we're doing.
That's well put.
And those are some options that you have there. And again, I think at first, the easiest ones to go about is weight and reps. And yeah, we'll get into the rest.
Okay. So then what we want to at least leave you guys with is sets and reps and rest. Because those are what usually you pick when I'm going to bench press. Well, how many reps, how many sets, and how long am I going to rest? So a good rule of thumb is when you're looking at the full week, your full week of exercise, you want, again, this is just general, you want at least 10 working or hard sets of an exercise for that muscle group. So let's say your chest. You want at least 10 hard sets. On the lower end and on the upper end, 20. 20 is a lot. That's like bro split status a lot. Now you can make gains on less than that. I made gains on my chest with 6 hard sets a week when I was first starting off because the weight, the intensity was there. I was a newbie, all that kind of stuff.
You look at a weight and you just like...
Yeah, you just feel it. But you want to do about 10 to 20 sets per muscle group per week. And then you want to ideally, split them up into 2 or 3 days. So again, this is kind of avoiding that bro split. You could get all 10 hard sets in one day, but ideally if you had to break them up, it'd be better because you can re-stimulate that muscle. Okay. Let's see here.
Oh, I think we wanted to generally go over, then we kind of talked about it, but like Cam was saying, yeah, if you're a true beginner, man, you can get away with just touching the bar.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, so if you're a beginner, you can, even less than 10 sets per week, you will probably be able to grow on. But once you start to get consistently in there, we're probably talking up to 2 years worth of training, you want to be at that 10 sets mark up to 15 sets per muscle group per week. And then once you get above that, that's when you're wanting to be 15 or above to see continual gains. Not so much for maintenance, but to see continual gains.
That is a good point. Because once you get there, you can do, what would you say? I mean, there's not a set number, but you don't have to do as much to maintain.
Yeah. You know, I actually want to give an example of this whole 10 sets per week. Because what does that even look like? I do want to take your chest, for example, okay? And let's take the upper-lower split, that one we've been flirting with. So let's say your first upper day, you hit bench press for 3 sets, and you hit chest flies for 3 sets. Okay, so right now for the total of the week, you've hit, and then you do other upper body exercises the rest of that session, blah, blah, blah. Your chest got hit 6 hard sets. And then your next upper body day, you hit incline, you know, dumbbell press, and then you hit dips for 3 sets each. So now you're up to 12 sets for that week. So you basically with 4 exercises split over 2 days for 3 sets, you hit 12 reps or 12 hard sets for the week, if that makes any sense, for your chest. So that's what that would look like. So it's not that much, but you kind of have to start thinking of your workouts like that. How many times did I chest this week? For how long did I get to that threshold? Where am I in my training? All that kind of stuff. And then with sets and reps, let's talk about reps first. There's different ways you can stimulate the muscle. You can stimulate the muscle for a strength stimulus. You can stimulate the muscle for a hypertrophy stimulus, which is increase in size, or you can stimulate the muscle for an endurance stimulus. So if you're going for strength, you really want the muscle to get stronger, to contract harder, to be able to exert more force. You're looking at the 1 to 5 rep range. Okay, so you're doing, obviously you can't do less than 1 or you didn't work out. and you're not doing more than five. But the intensity, the weight has to be there. Mm-hmm. So you are at least 85% of what your max weight is. So your max weight on bench press is 100 pounds. You want that weight you're doing to be at least 85 pounds, and you're trying to get 1 to 5 reps. Obviously, if you were at that 100 pounds, you're going to be at 1 rep because that is your 1 rep max. Is the max you can do. This, you want to rest a good while. We're talking 2 to 5 minutes. I've rested upwards of 5 minutes before between some heavy sets, and you need all that time. Mm-hmm. And this rep range is also good for power. If you're doing a power exercise like an Olympic lift, box jumps, all that kind of stuff, where the intensity is very high, but the reps are very low. And that's going to help with strength and power. Then if you want to, and all these rep ranges, by the way, research has shown, will stimulate muscle size. Like, your muscle will get bigger. There are just some that are more optimal for making the muscle bigger than others, but they all will make the muscle bigger. If you want more of a hypertrophy type of stimulus, you're looking at the 6 to 8 up to 12 to 15 rep range, somewhere in that 6 to 12, 8 to 15, somewhere in that rep range. It's kind of, you know, semantics. And then the intensity, what the percentage of your 1 rep max is going to be, anywhere from 65% to 85%. So it's a lot lower, but you're doing more repetitions. So the intensity can't be there. And then your rest time is going to be shorter because you want to be able to keep the blood in the muscle when you hit it again. You don't want to just fully let it relax. So you're about 60 to 90 seconds. And this is, again, going to help with hypertrophy. You can still see some strength benefits, especially if you're that lower end, like 6 to 8 reps versus 12 to 15. And then the last one is muscle endurance, more conditioning work, because you're going to be 15 sets or 15 reps and above. And the rest is super, super short, 60 seconds or left. And that's going to really help with the endurance and the conditioning of those muscles. Did I leave anything out there, Annabelle?
All I'm going to say is I wish we had this episode when we started out.
We knew nothing.
Not to toot our own horn, but like, man, we're really covering, and we made it for a reason. We really do think that you can get lost in the sauce, like Cam likes saying, mm-hmm. where you're trying to find the perfect plan, you're trying to find the perfect routine. But the thing is, it doesn't exist. That routine might work for that individual, but it may not work for you just yet.
Yeah. There is a lot of information. You might have to go back and re-listen to it. But I do want to kind of like recap everything here. So the first thing is you want to make sure you're actually training and not just wailing around getting hot and sweaty in the gym. You got some sort of plan. Go listen to that first part of the episode, the podcast episode we listed. So you want to do that first. Number two, you want to see how many days can I realistically commit to the gym? Let's say it's 4 days. I can realistically commit to 4 days a week. Then you want to select your split. So if you said I can do 4 days a week, you're not picking a bro split. Bro split is at least 5 days, 5 to 6. You're not picking that one. You could put in a push-pull legs. That's on the menu. You could do an upper lower. That's on the menu. You could do a full body. That's on the menu. You got to figure out what you would do. I'm hungry, if you can't tell.
I was like,
got an extra day in there to kind of do what you want. And as Annabelle alluded to earlier, because of our bonus tip, is it could be an accessory day where you just hodgepodge a couple of different exercises and maybe hit where you're lacking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You select a split. Let's say you select a 4 day upper lower split. Okay. Then number four, you want to prioritize compound lifts. So on your upper days, you're prioritizing bench press. You're prioritizing overhead press. On your lower body days, you're prioritizing squats and deadlifts. They can be on those on opposite days. And you start to stack. Like your pulling motions on your upper day might be pull-ups or lat pull-downs and rows, dumbbell or barbell. So you're stacking in these compound lifts. You stack 1 to 2 to 3, depending on the workout and what you can handle. Then you want to select number five, isolation lifts. You want about 2 to 4 of those. And again, paired, if you're on your upper day, you're picking upper body isolation lifts. On your lower days, you're picking lower body isolation lifts. And the last but not least, because you're tracking and you're training, you're applying progressive overload, which is you're increasing the weight, the sets, the reps, something every workout or every week. Ideally, if you're a beginner, every workout. And then another bonus thing here too is cycle through the rep ranges. So let's say you're going through a phase of strength training. So all your full body split, most of your big lifts are focused on the 1 to 5 reps. Okay. After about 8 weeks or so, 12 weeks, switch up and move your big lifts into the 6 to 12, the 8 to 15 rep range. After that, either go back to strength or go up to a little season of endurance. You want to cycle through 4, 6, 8 weeks. If you're still seeing gains, keep going. Don't, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Keep going. If you start to plateau, switch it up.
I would say if you're a newbie, I would stick to strength and run that as much as you can. And then like Cam says, switch the weights or switch the reps.
Yeah. Good stuff.
This is really good stuff. All right, guys, this is a lot. It's a lot. Most of you sit down, you can go through this, but we do want to make a plug that if you need help, or would like to get some help, and would like to speed up your process, definitely reach out to us, schedule a call. We'll go over our program, kind of talk through a lot of these different things, kind of see where you're at. And if you do want to move forward, we'll customize a program to where you don't have to worry about this. We'll talk more in depth during our coaching and whatnot, but you'll have it ready to go, and then we'll teach you along the way.
Yeah. So if you want to book a call, it's called a roadmap call. You can DM us. It's if you go to our Instagram, you can find it there. But yeah, we're just going to see where you are, where you want to be, what's holding you back, and if we'd be a good fit if our program can help. So it's very, and we'll point you in the right direction if we can't. And it's very no pressure type thing, very very laid back.
Yeah, because we may not be a good fit for you, and you may not be a good fit for us.
Yeah. Denied.
Denied. Sorry, Joe Rogan. We're too busy for you.
That's right. I'm not training you. Guys, just remember that you're human and you should not seek perfection, but daily improvement. All right.
All right. See you guys. See you guys.